Penn State coach James Franklin must not be a Game of Thrones fan, or he would have known. You bend the knee or you suffer the consequences. This is the 602nd podcast, opinions and reactions to week 5 of the SEC football season and elsewhere in college football. I'm Jim Dunaway, and remember to like and subscribe, and a big thank you to Bill Smith, BuickGMC.com for their support. Alabama's win and a loss of a superstar later in this podcast, but first, Lane Kiffin is asking questions about SEC officiating and the one action that will likely get Lane his next slap on the wrist from the SEC office. Auburn rallies to beat Ole Miss 35-28, but just like the Arkansas win for Auburn, a no call, or in this case, a no stoppage for an extended replay review, was part of the postgame discussion. The Rebels had just scored to take a 28-27 lead with 5:43 to play in the game when the kickoff appeared to graze the finger of Auburn return man Sean Shivers. Did it? I don't know. It was ruled as a touchback on the field, not a recovery for an Ole Miss touchdown. The problem for Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin? Why not a stoppage of play for a long review?
Well, they said they did, so you know you don't really challenge anymore in college because they review everything supposedly. So there's no use of challenging because, you know, I go to the guy and he says they looked at it and said they didn't see anything. So even when they don't stop it, they're still looking. Now, why they didn't stop and look closer, I have no idea. You know, that's equivalent of a scoring play, which they stop all the time now forever, it feels like. So I don't know. Someone said post game that looked like his finger definitely moved. You know, but whatever.
Some see it as a touch and some do not, and that's why the ruling on the field probably would have stayed a touchback. But I agree, why not stop and take a look at it? But here's where it gets interesting. Later into the night, Lane Kiffin retweets an Ole Miss fan who is criticizing SEC officials. Quote, "Y'all are a disgrace, SEC. Your officiating is absolutely atrocious," end quote. You know the rules. Lane Kiffin can't comment on SEC officiating. We'll see if he can retweet it on social media. And a reminder, Lane, you can Venmo your fine straight to Commission the 205 anytime you want to. In the game, some really good things for Auburn. How about another close win? Auburn is now trailed in the final 3 minutes of their last three games. They have rallied to win two of them, including this one on a 58-yard pass play with only a 1:14 left.
When they went and scored, and then they kicked the extra point and went up by one, and you could just see the momentum shift. And then our offense, you know, we went backwards, three and out, had to punt. And they had a short field. Our defense held, got the ball back. And then you got to make a play. I mean, you got to win the game. The offense was in that situation where you got to win the game. You know, Bo was 3 of 4 and 82 yards on that last drive, and he was on target. And, you know, and so that, you know, had an opportunity to win the game, and that's what they did.
And what about that Bo Nix-Seth Williams relationship? A week ago, two competitors were seen chirping at each other on the sideline. This week, they are saving a victory together like Captain America and Spider-Man. Here's Bo Nix.
Any great quarterback and wide receiver duo, they have their discussions and they have their times to where they need to get certain things fixed. And I mean, me and Seth, as good as we are, we have those conversations to make sure each other is perfect. And you have games like last week. And then you also have responses like this week for two competitors like that.
A final thought on Auburn. A week ago, they threw 50-plus passes in a loss at South Carolina. Gus and Chad Morris ran the football 47 times for 224 yards and 4 touchdowns Saturday. Freshman Tank Bigsby had his third straight 100-plus rushing game, getting his name in the record books along with Bo Jackson and Michael Dyer. Auburn gets LSU next at Jordan-Hare Stadium. We'll break down Alabama's win and the rest of the SEC action from Week 5 after we thank our great sponsor, Bill Smith Buick GMC, the number one GMC volume dealer in Alabama. Why? Because of pricing. GM Andy Cole and sales manager Jonathan Yeager just fight for your best price. Like a brand new four-wheel drive 2020 GMC truck, the Sierra, listed at $70,000, you get it for $57,000. See all their fantastic inventory, new or used, at BillSmithBuickGMC.com. The halfway point of this strange, condensed pandemic season brought a not strange and now all too familiar pain to the Alabama football program. Yes, the Crimson Tide beat rival Tennessee for the 14th straight year, but just like last season when Tua Tagovailoa injured himself against the Volunteers, Alabama loses another star to an ankle injury. This time it's Jalen Waddle, and this time it was a lot worse. Nick Saban delivered the news at halftime and again after the game.
You know, it's really a sad time for me, for Jalen Waddle and his family. He's got a very similar injury to what Kenyon Drake had. You know, it's a high ankle sprain, but also a fracture, so they'll probably have to do surgery on him. We're going to fly him back privately with the doctors and take him right to Birmingham and see what we have to do right away. If that's the case, then we're pretty certain that it is, that he would probably be out for the year. Guy's a great player. He's a great teammate. He's an exciting player to watch. Hate it that, you know, people in college football can't see a great player the rest of this season.
Jalen Waddle's next reception will be in the NFL. He was a lot of fun to watch. But like Tua's career, I feel a little cheated. How much did I actually get to see Tua play healthy in big games? The same for Waddle. Two iconic talents, two careers that ended too soon and left me wanting a lot more. Now to Alabama's 48-17 win over Tennessee. No Waddle, no problem, at least in this game. In fact, Jalen may not be missed until the playoffs when you need his unique talent to separate from a Clemson or Ohio State. Without him Saturday, Mac Jones was huge. He eased the transition by completing 11 of his first 11 passes, some to Waddle's replacement Slade Bolden. Mac had 297 passing yards in the first half, building a big enough lead to win the game. The offense continued to increase its NCAA record of now 18 straight games of scoring 35 or more points, but that has become expected. What Alabama fans are watching closely is how much can the defense grow. Nick Saban told ESPN's Chris Lowe this week that good defense doesn't beat good offense anymore. The defensive-minded coach knows you still have to play some defense, though, and his guys did that Saturday.
I thought the defense played better tonight. This is probably the best we played, even though there's some plays in there that you could be critical of, and I'm sure we'll do everything we can to get them fixed. But I was kind of proud of the way the guys played. They played with a little more confidence, and we were pretty aggressive overall.
Alabama is home to Mississippi State next. By the way, Nick Saban is 23-0 against his former assistants, and the next challenge to that record would be in 2021, unless the Tide and Georgia meet in the SEC championship game. Elsewhere, LSU blasted South Carolina 52-24 in a game that wasn't even that close. The Tigers did it without their starting quarterback, Miles Brennan. Freshman T.J. Finley was impressive, 265 yards, two touchdowns, only one interception. So will Finley keep the job when Brennan comes back? Do we have a quarterback controversy brewing? Here's Ed Orgeron.
It might be on y'all part. I mean, everybody's just yearning for it. I can feel it. It ain't going to be on our part. I tell you that. You know, I mean, Miles is our starting quarterback, and T.J. has done a great job. I don't know when Miles is going to be ready. Miles is going to be our starting quarterback, but I know this. If Miles ain't doing well, I can put in T.J. and feel good about it.
Missouri also beat Kentucky 20-10. Big Blue's offense only put up 98 rushing and 47 passing yards, a total of 145 yards. But unlike Ole Miss or Tennessee, Missouri didn't give Kentucky's defense any turnovers.
They're built not to give up big plays, force you to pass the ball and intercept and force turnovers. It's all ball control type game, and there's really no other way around it other than to beat them at their own game.
There was a top 10 upset as the Big Ten returned to play. Indiana knocked out number 8 Penn State. Here's all you need to know. James Franklin of Penn State should have taken knees on the Indiana 14 with 1:42 to play. Instead, Indiana lets Devin Ford walk uncontested into the end zone so they can get the ball back. They do. They force overtime, and after Penn State scored and Indiana scored, the Hoosiers went for the kill shot on a 2-point try. A dive for the pylon is ruled on the field to be good for the win. But watching the replay, it looks like Michael Penix has come up one blade of turf short. Then the magical words rain down in Bloomington. The ruling on the field stands. Indiana has its first win over a top 10 team since the Reagan years. And like many characters in Game of Thrones, James Franklin has to wonder why he didn't bend the knee. Welcome back, Big Ten, and thank you, college football, for a great weekend. That's our 600 seconds this week. Thanks for liking and subscribing, and thank you to Bill Smith, BuickGMC.com. I'm Jim Dunaway.